You don't rest when you're laboring. You're resting when you are reaping the fruit of what you have not labored for. Jesus made a very strong statement. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored.
Welcome to Harvest Family Church. We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. Our prayer is that you would accept this seed of God's word in order to reap from the finished work of Jesus. Join us now for today's segment.
Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, that's where we were on Friday. And we're going to see, I think that's a good place to take off today from. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 1. Jesus came to bring us what? Life and life more abundantly, right? Life and life more abundantly. Jesus came to bring us life and life more abundantly. Let me ask you a question. Can the Ten Commandments produce life? Can the commandments, right? Those Ten Commandments, can they produce life? They cannot, right? So, and we're going to see that. We're going to see that. So, what we want to do is, as we read through Deuteronomy 8, listen to what he's saying so you can understand what commandments it is that he's talking about, right? So you can understand and see the commandments he's talking about. Verse number 1 says, All the commandments, it says, which I command thee this day, shall ye observe to do, so that what would happen? It says, so that ye may live and multiply. Right? So this type of obedience that it's talking about here gives life and fruitfulness. Life and fruitfulness, right? Life and fruitfulness. Gives life and fruitfulness. It says, and go in then, and you can possess the land which the Lord swear unto your fathers. Right? So you can possess the land. So let's go real quick. We're going to stay here, but maybe Miss Susan, you can bring us Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 9. Let's look at that real quick. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 9. And while we go there, listen to it again. In verse number 1 of Deuteronomy 8, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, so that you'll live and multiply, so that you will have life, and so that you will be fruitful in this one thing, in this obedience, right? In this obedience. Look at verse number 9. It says, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, curses everyone that continueth not in all these things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. Evident, right? Remember, the New Testament is not written, right, as a separate, completely different offshoot of what God was trying to do, right? The Bible from Genesis to Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it's interesting, right, even with what Pastor Mike was saying about how, and we've seen it many times before, you about how you behold the glory of the Lord as in a mirror, right? You behold the glory of the Lord as in a mirror. And the Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ, right? So in seeing Christ revealed, right, is where you see him in a mirror, right? Because if he's revealed to you, you can see him. If you can behold him, then you can see yourself, right? So how do you see the Lord? You see him through the word of God, right? So, and you know what? Let me go there too, so I don't read like this. But we were in Galatians 3, right? Galatians chapter 3 is where we said we were. And we said 9. Okay, so he says then, where we left off, in verse number 11, it says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. So what is it saying there? You cannot be justified, you can only be justified by faith and not by the works of the law. Now, keep this. This is so, it's so good to see this, right? The works of the law. Does the work of the law have anything to do with your spirit? The work of the law, right? Okay, let me tell you this. So the law is the law. Law is law, right? So do you need to be spiritual to obey a speed limit? Right? You don't need to be spiritual in any sense. You don't have to be saved to obey a speed limit, right? You can obey a law because of fear, right? So what it says is you cannot be justified in the sight of God. In other words, you cannot have a position before God as if you had never sinned by keeping a law. Because the thing with the law is you have to keep it forever. You have to obey the laws forever. And the minute, let's say you start obeying the law at the age of 20. And at the age of 40, right, you stop obeying the law. You break the law in somehow, right? Right? Now you are a lawbreaker. Now you are a transgressor. So you go from obeying, rich young ruler, I've done these all since my youth. And then you get to 30 years old and then you mess it up. So if you're guilty of the law, you're guilty of the whole law. Right? If you break one of the 10, you're guilty of all the law. You're basically a lawbreaker, right? So what he says there in verse number 11 is, but that no man is justified. To be justified is for God to give you a holy, blameless verdict in your life. For God to look at you and say, you are holy and you're blameless in my sight. Right, that's a just, to be justified, right? So when he says that, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident for the just, those that are just, they live by faith, not by keeping a law. For the just, they live by faith, not by keeping a law. So let me ask you this. So the law we said, right, the law has to do with, not with the spirit, the law has to do with the action, the performance, the flesh. The law has to do with the flesh. Faith has nothing to do with the flesh. Faith has nothing to do with the flesh. Faith is of the heart, right? Faith is of the heart and of the mind. So if you have faith in God, right, you're justified. If you try to work, right, if you try to work a law, right, and here's the thing. People try to say, well, I can't say that I have faith because you see me do something. Right, because faith is of the heart. So now, work. There are works that come from faith. But here's the good thing to see is that faith, because it is something of the heart. Right? I don't have to activate my flesh in order to have faith. But you have to understand then what is your obedience then? See, that's what we talk about obedience. It's if the just shall live by faith, then that's your obedience. If the just could be justified by the law, then that's your obedience. So just separate the obedience, right? Is your obedience to keep the law, or is your obedience to have faith? If you have to live this way or this way, right? So if you live by a law, you have to keep the law for the rest of your life. And if you could keep it, if you could keep the law, right? Okay. Let me show it to you. Jump down to verse number 19 of Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. It says, wherefore then serveth the law? In other words, what's then the purpose of the law? And he says, it was added because of transgressions till the seed, which is Jesus, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, right? So the promise of Abraham was to Abraham and to his seed, meaning to Abraham and to Christ, right? And we are also children of Abraham, but the reference there to Abraham and to his seed is to Abraham and to Christ. So the promises were given to Abraham and to Christ, right? So it says that it was given till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained, the law, look at how it was spoken, to be ordained, it was commanded. Look at how it was commanded. It says, and it was ordained or commanded by angels in the hand of a mediator. By angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. It says, is the law then against the promises of God? He said, God forbid, the law is not bad, right? The law is good, the law is perfect. So the problem is not with the law. The law is perfect. It is good not to murder. It is good not to take the Lord's name in vain. It is, all of those things are good and they are perfect. But that's the problem. The law is perfect and man is not. That's the problem. So when you take man, sinful man, and you put the law next to it, how does it make man look? Right? Exceedingly sinful. When you take man who is sinful and you put another sinful man next to it, now they're sinners, yeah. Now you take a sinful man and you put perfection next to him, and now he looks exceedingly sinful. And it makes everything he does look wrong. Because it is. Because he says there are none that do good. There are none that do good. There are none that seek God. There are none. So he brought in the law so that sin would become exceedingly sinful and men would recognize that we need a what? A Savior. a savior, to be saved, to be saved from sin. Thank the Lord. And then he says, God forbid, for if there, look at what it says in verse number, we're reading 21. Look at what it says. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid, for if there, can you read from the for if with me? Can we do that together? For if there had been a law given which could have given life, stop. You see that? For if there had been a law, if there had been a law out of the law that was given, if it would have been possible, if there could have been a law that could have given life, if it could have given life, if the law could have given life, can the law give life? No. The law, that's so important to know. Because look at what people do. People perform because they want life. They think that doing good with the flesh, right? That if I can do good, I can have life. That if I do good, things will go well for me. That's not what God is going to, it has been teaching them in Deuteronomy. From Deuteronomy chapter 8, that's not what God has been teaching them. From Genesis, that's not what God has been teaching them. He says, by your physical performance, life can't come from that. What God is saying, I want you to have life. Right? Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I can't give you life while you're still trying to earn life. I can't give it to you. I can't give it, right? Because I have put life on the inside of you and you're trying to earn what you have. You're trying to earn and get what you have. The just shall live by faith. Notice it doesn't say they will get just by faith. You're justified by faith, right? In your initial faith in Jesus is what justifies you. But then those that are just, that's how you just keep living. The way you started is how you continue. The way you start is how you continue. Look at what he says. He says, so if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily it says righteousness should have been then by the law. So if it were possible that by the law men could be made right, right? Then men should have been made righteous by the law. But obviously it couldn't be. It couldn't be. Because the law was not given to make men righteous. The law was given to make men see that they could not. Could not. Never. No matter how hard they tried, they could never, and that they needed a savior, right? Could never. They couldn't before, and we can't now. They couldn't do it before, and you can't do it now. Right? You can't do it now. Right? You can't become righteous by the law. So let's go back. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. So it says in let's read verse number 1 again. Deuteronomy chapter 8, all of the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that you may live and that you may be fruitful, that you may multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all of the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. You know what you're looking for? The Lord said he can give them life, so he's preaching the gospel to them. Right? It may not sound just like your New Testament, but that's what he's doing, right? Because he said the gospel was preached unto us, it was preached to them, just as it was unto us. So God's not lying, right? The way he preached the gospel to them, he preached it to us. The way he preached it to us, he preached it to them. So he says, and that they would remember all of the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. So he was leading them. Right? He was leading them in that wilderness, shepherding them in the wilderness. It says to humble thee and to prove thee to know what was in your heart. To know what was in your heart. So remember, right? The work of the law. Is the work of the law of the heart or of the flesh? The work of the law is of the flesh. Now, the law of faith, is faith of the flesh or is faith of the heart? Faith is of the heart. So what is God saying he was doing? He was leading them in the wilderness so that he could see what was in their flesh. Right? Is that what he was doing? To see what was in their flesh? Right? That's not what he was doing. He was in to see what was in their heart, not in their flesh, right? To see what was in their heart, not in their flesh. He said, whether thou would keep, he says, my commandments or not. Look at verse number 3. And he humbled thee, and he suffered thee to hunger, and he fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every what? Word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So hold on a second, right? Because now we're getting into it, into the thick of it, right? Because he said that what he wants to do is give them life and for them to be fruitful. And then he says, here's what I did. When you needed something, right? Pastor Mike, what did he open up saying? He says, God doesn't give you money, but you need money, don't you? Right? God doesn't give you Wonder Bread either, but you need Wonder Bread, right? Right? But so here's the thing. So you have needs. Yes, you do. Right? You have needs. So what is God doing? So what God wants to do is give you life. Because out of life in you and out of the power that is in you, that's where they got the power to get wealth. Right? The power to be able to multiply. The power to be able to be fruitful in a wilderness. God gave them, right, by trying to teach them life. Faith in Him. Faith in Him is what He's trying to do. That's why He said, remember, now when you have built goodly homes. He says, and when you have prospered in all your ways, He says, don't forget. Don't forget. Don't forget and say, by our own power we have done this. But He said, but know that it is me. I am the one that gives you the power to get wealth. Does God give you wealth? No. Does He give you power? Yes. He's given you the Spirit of God. He's given you the Spirit of God. So He humbled them. He humbled them and He says, so here's what He did. So they hunger. They have a need. They have a need. And God, what He does is, He gives them bread from heaven. A substance that they don't know. Right? A substance that they don't know. But why does God give them something that they don't know to meet a need? Why does God give them a substance that they don't know to meet a need? And here's why. Because what He's teaching them is Christ. Because, watch. Right? The gospel was preached unto them. John chapter 6. Go there real quick. Right? And we'll get out of John 6 very fast. John chapter 6 and verse number 31. It says, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now in Exodus, and I hope we have time to go there, but in Exodus 16, it says, right, God gave them bread from heaven. God gave them bread from heaven. Now look at what it says. It said He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus says in verse number 32, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. Moses gave you not that. So hold on a second. So in Exodus 16, He says, I gave you bread from heaven. In John chapter 6, He says, no, He didn't give you bread from heaven. So then which is it? Did He give you bread from heaven or did He not give you bread from heaven? And here's what it is, right? The Lord says, He says, the shadow is something that people beheld. He says, but the body is of Christ. The shadow used to be what they used to see, but the body is of Christ. So the shadow of Christ in the old covenant, it's not Christ, right? It's just a shadow. So they were eating what God called bread from heaven, but it was just a shadow of the true bread from heaven, right? So He gives them manna so that they would see what? Not the manna, but so that they would see Christ, right? But they see manna, and remember the reason. God said, I'm giving you manna, right? I'm doing all these things. I led you in the wilderness so I could know what was in your heart. Faith, so that you can grow in faith in Jesus, right? But He's not telling them the name Jesus. He's not giving them all these things, but He is ministering to them the gospel. How? Because if they could see, if He could say, you know what, I will give you bread each day, and you have to believe me for that bread. And you know what He's not saying? This is Deuteronomy. Right? He's not saying, if you do right, if I don't hear you curse, if I don't see you do bad things, then I will give you bread. But understand how they got the bread in the first place. They murmured and they complained. And they said, oh, that God would have killed us in Egypt where we were eating flesh. We were before the flesh pots and had bread to the full. And you know, what does God do? He gives them bread. So they're breaking the law. They're speaking against God. And what does God do? He gives them bread. Right? If this was about law breaking, God would have killed them all in the wilderness, right? Forget about giving you bread. You're a bunch of stiff-necked lawbreakers, and I kill you all. But what did He do? They break the law, and then what does He do? He gives them bread. He gives them bread. So what is it that the Lord is trying to get them to see? That they could see the bread of life ahead of time. Right? And you say, well, that's not possible. Well, Abraham did it. Abraham rejoiced to see the day of Christ. And he was in the book of Genesis. We're in Deuteronomy. Right? So he saw it, right? So here's a beautiful thing to see. He says, verily, in verse number 32, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not bread from heaven, but my Father, He said, giveth you the bread, the true bread. The true bread. So that's where He makes a distinction. He says, I am the true bread. That was the shadow of the true bread. That was the shadow of the true bread. But then going back then, not yet. Look at what it says in verse number 32, 33. He says, the bread of God is He that cometh down from heaven. And what does He do? He gives life to the world. He gives life. What was it that he was trying to, that he spoke to them in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 1? He said that they might have what? That they would have life and that they would multiply. What's the only way to have life? Faith in Jesus is the only way to have life. Because how do you eat the bread? How do you eat the bread? Don't leave with a notion Jesus is the bread of life. Isn't that awesome? He's the bread. No. It's more, don't say he's bread. How do you eat the bread? That's what's important, right? It does you no good to stare in a bakery and smell the fresh bread when you leave church, right? It does you no good. You want to know, how do I eat the bread? You go in and you get it and you eat it, right? Come, he says. So eating the bread is the word of God. Eating the bread is the word of God. And here, let me show that to you. Deuteronomy chapter 8, back again, right? And let's look again in verse number 3. Deuteronomy chapter 8, we were in verse number 3. Look at it again. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 3. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make you know that man doth not live by bread alone, but he does live by eating. So hold on a second, right? In order for there to be life, men must eat. So just get that in your mind, right? Life comes from eating. Life comes from eating. That's where it comes from. That's why he says man does not live by bread alone, right? Because if you never ate anything in this body, you would die. But he says, but man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of what? The mouth of God. The law came by the command of who? Right? Angels, right? The law came by the command of angels. Didn't come out of the mouth of God. It came out by the commands of angels, right? That's what the law, and there's other verses that show you that too, but one should be good enough anyway. But here's what he says. So he says, I humbled thee and I showed you that, and I fed you with manna so that you would know that man doesn't live by bread alone. So obviously Jesus did the same thing, right? When Jesus in Matthew 4, we see that he was tempted in the wilderness, what happened? Right? See, even, can I tell you something? Even what we're doing right now, if you think about this, right? So you can see the importance of it, because sometimes people don't, listen, when people don't understand the importance of something, they don't put importance in it. Why is it important that you're sitting where you're sitting? Because what are you doing right now? You're eating. Why is it important that you spend time with the Lord in the morning, in the Word of God, seeing the revelation of Jesus Christ? Why? Because you're eating. Why is it important? Because if you don't eat, you don't live. If you don't eat, you don't live. See, eating shows you who you are. When you eat, you behold the glory of the Lord, because Christ is revealed to you as you're eating, and as you eat and you eat what is good. Because death also does come by eating, because there's a lot of junk you can eat, right? So you can have a junk food diet and you will suffer death from it, right? Or you can eat what is good and you will see life. Right? That's what that whole verse that Pastor Mike was talking about, right? When he was saying that you'll be transformed. Outward transformation in your life, changing, the renewal of your mind happens as you eat. You need to eat. You need to eat. And people talk about, well, you know, it's not really about quantity of time. It's about quality of time. Okay, so try that in your life, okay? Do this, right? Eat a filet mignon once a week. See how that feels. Right? Because it's not about quantity, right? It's only about quality. So get the highest quality food and eat it once a week. You know how it goes? Your health will be very slow, right? If it doesn't deteriorate first, right? So the idea is, eating is important, right? It's important to eat. How often should we eat? Often. Often we should eat. So much so that God correlated the remembrance of Him with eating. And He said, as often as you do this, do this in remembrance of who? Me. He said, he didn't say just eat to fill your stomach and drink wine till you get drunk. Actually, that's what he said about those that eat to their perdition, right? They eat. Listen. That right there is good, right? He said those that eat, because Christians are afraid to eat communion sometimes, right? Because they had an argument with their wife on the way to church, so they're not going to eat because they don't want to eat unworthily. Listen, you're not worthy because you don't argue with your wife on the way to church. You're worthy because of the blood of Jesus. So that's not what it's talking about. To eat unworthily, right, is a person who does not discern the body of Christ. He's not eating because he knows that it represents the body of Christ and it's the revelation of Jesus. He's eating because he just wants food. So he says, you want to eat? Eat at home, is what he tells them. He said, you eat. So you eat to my remembrance, right? Because you can recall. And it's interesting what he told them. He said, your fathers, he said, because they're arguing with Jesus. Our father gave us manna in the wilderness. That's why we have life. He said, listen, you're looking at the bread of life right in front of your face and you don't recognize who I am. He says, the manna, you gave it the name manna because manna means what is it? So you ate and you didn't even know what you were eating. So you know what happens? When men eat and don't know what they're eating, it brings death, right? What did he say? He said, your fathers ate manna in the desert. He says, and they're dead. So what happened? They didn't know what they were eating. But if they discerned what God was teaching them, they would have done that, right, to understand Christ, and what would they have received? Life, not death. Life, not death, right? They would have received life and not death. It's good, right? Eating produces life. It's good to eat. Eating produces life. Let me go ahead then and show you something. You're watching such a good movie, right? You ever watch a good movie? You don't want to fall asleep at the end, do you? Right? You never want to fall asleep to the end. Listen, it's good to be attentive, right, to the things that are truly life, right? It's good. You want to go to the movies and pay $18 and fall asleep? Who cares, right? But it's funny, right? It's good to be awake. And listen, and people will say, well, it's just that I'm so tired. Well, Jesus said that to the apostles. He said, I need you to wait and pray with me for an hour. He comes back and he finds them sleeping. Right? I'm just saying, it's good to be awake. It's good to be awake. Can you eat while you sleep? It's good to be awake. It's good to be awake. Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16 and verse number 3. Exodus chapter 16 and verse number 3. Look at what it says. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God that we had died by the hand of God in the land of Egypt, where we sat by the flesh pots and where we did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Right? So can I tell you something? Listen, physical things affect us. Right? Hunger affects you, right? If you're sitting there and it's noon and your stomach's going, right? That affects you. That affects you. So what you do is you learn to do what? You learn to put your heart and set your mind. You know why? Because you'll find yourself in the middle of the worst condition of your life where you need to be able to remember and be attentive of the Lord. And if we can't just put our mind aside, put our body and say, you know what? You go over here. I'm going to tell you what to do and you're going to listen now. That's what you're going to do. You tell your body what to do. In the morning, you know what? Everybody has every excuse in the world as to why they can't get up and read the word because I'm so tired and I'm so this and I'm so that. But it's amazing how different things put you into high gear, right? That when you got to drive to Florida to go to Disney World, you'll wake up at 2:30 in the morning and drive 24 hours, right? So it's dependent, right? When you tell your body what to do, your body listens to what you tell it to do, right? So it's just a matter of what you think is important. If you know that eating is life to you, you will take that seriously. When you don't know that eating is life, you'll just treat it haphazardly, right? What you eat and how much you eat makes every bit of difference in your life, right? No one has any more than you have. I have just as much of Jesus as you do. All of us have the same amount. There are none of us that are greater than the other. It's just that some eat more than other people eat. Right? Is eating important? Yes. It is important. Does God love you if you don't eat? Of course He doesn't. He loves you when you weren't eating. He died for you for your sins when you weren't eating. Right? But He wants you to know Him. He wants you to know Him. Because why? Because God has this thing that He wants you to have. Life. He wants your mortal flesh to experience what? Life. Life, He wants you to have it. Listen, and I'm not telling you this because I have it. Because I found myself, listen, I have seen myself in situations where, you know what, Lord? Like, I can't even take it anymore. That's it. I mean, that's it. I mean, I'm done. I can't even hear no more. I'm finished. And you know what? And then I sit there right at that moment and I remind myself, Lord, isn't that exactly what the children of Israel were doing? They could not hear and they could not listen because they were just hungry. Just hungry. Just hungry. And you can say, I mean, just really look at it. Look at what he said. He said in verse number, listen, they were so hungry. Think about how hungry these people were. They were hungrier than you're hungry right now. I haven't eaten anything yet. This morning. I just had a cup of coffee. I could say I'm pretty hungry. They were hungrier than I am. And they were so hungry that they said, why don't you bring us back to Egypt and kill us there as long as we can eat? How important was food to them? Pretty darn. Pretty darn important that they were willing to return back. Just let us get in front of those flesh pots one time and eat that meat and then kill us. Right? But you know what? When you're hungry or when you have pain, right? Listen, don't talk to me about Jesus now. You don't know the pain I'm going through. You can never tell God you don't understand, right? Because He understands. But the answer that He's going to give you is the same every time, right? Know who you are. And listen, when you feel like you can't even hear enough, don't tell me another thing about God because I'm so sick of it and I'm tired of this suffering. And He tells you, it's still my son. He's still the answer. You can feel as depressed as you want to depress. And He's going to tell you it's still the same answer. And Jesus is still the way. And He's going to say it to you in a low voice, in a high voice. And He's going to be saying it to you, you know, for how long? Forever. Because Jesus Christ is the answer. And you know what? A beautiful thing is going to happen. One day you just see it. One day you just see it. Like many of you have seen it, and hopefully all of us have seen it, right? The value that there is in eating what is good. The value of eating what is good. Verse number 4, he says, then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, and I will prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass on the sixth day that they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, at even then, it says, you shall know that the Lord hath brought you out of Egypt. Listen, and I'll stop there because for the sake of time, we probably can't go a lot further. But you know, he says the Lord is doing all of these things so you will know that it's God who took you out of Egypt. You ever ask yourself that question? Lord, why do you keep saying that? You know, I mean, if you were the people of Israel, you'd be, all right, so you brought us out of Egypt. How many times you gotta say it? It's that important because coming out of Egypt means salvation. That's why it's important. That's why it's important for you to know that Jesus saves. That's why it's important for you to know. So that you can know that the day he saved you from everything. That you would know that it is God who saved you on that cross. That's why it's important. That's why it's important for you to know that He's the bread of life. Why? Because He died on that cross so you can come and eat His flesh and drink His blood and have life. Because He says this is the only way. So God makes a way for you to have life and for you to be fruitful. And He says, if you can eat my flesh and if you can drink my blood, you will live. And that's the one thing that caused every single one of the disciples of Jesus to leave, except the 12. All of them left when He said that. And you know what the funny part is? And the sad part actually, right? That is the part that is the most offensive to people when they hear that, and it was the most offensive to them, and it's the part that brings life to people. Isn't that, that's the most, listen, the part that churches, the Catholic Church, and all other churches, right, suffer, even Christian churches, telling people that you have to do communion this way or that way. Do you see? Listen, communion that you have to have a priest do it and that you can't do it at home. Listen, they're robbing the church. They're robbing the church. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. And people think you have to be in a church to do it, or it has to be Easter, or you got to go before a priest and he has to put it on your tongue. They make it into this whole formulated thing, and all that they're doing is stealing from people. You know why? Because that should be something that every single individual should be able to do, even without bread and even without wine in their hand, and just be able to do communion and do everything that you do in remembrance of Him. Jesus, can I tell you something? In closing this Sunday morning, you know what He wants you to have? He came and He suffered and died and took on a body so that you could have life and so that you could have it more abundantly, so that He can prosper you, so that you can build goodly homes, so that you can be a possessor of things in this earth, right? And so that things that you need could be added to you. He said, seek me, I'll add everything else to you. Seek me, I'll add everything else to you. Don't seek what the Gentiles seek, just you seek me. Have an eye for me, be my bride, and look for your husband. and your husband will provide for you. Be my bride, and I will be a husband to you. You know, can I tell you something that's awesome? He's being a faithful husband to us, even when we're unfaithful. Even sometimes when our mind wanders, and we think about Egypt, and we think about how it used to be, and we think about the good old days, you know what he's still saying? I'm still here, and I'm still your faithful husband. He says, even when you are unfaithful, still I remain faithful. And you take, and you know what? He lets you just bring your heart right back to him. So if you can take something away from today, can you take away eating? The only way that you can have life is to eat. He showed that to them. Jesus, in the worst, he put his body through such torture, you could say. 40 days and 40 nights. I have gotten impatient hearing words, and I'm sitting in a chair. And I just ate like 5 hours before, right? Jesus did not eat for 40 days and for 40 nights. And the devil came to that prime opportunity and tempted him. And said, why don't you take that dead thing and take life from that which is dead? Why don't you take that dead stone and why don't you make it into bread? Right? See if you are the Son of God. He looks for a time, right, where you have things going on, where things are happening, right? Don't make an excuse for yourself to say, God understands that I'm just having a hard time right now. No, don't give your mind an out like that. Because if you give your mind an out, your mind's going to take the out, right? Don't give your mind the out. Because if you tell your mind, I'm just weak, I'm only human, you know what it's going to do? It's going to give up and do what you were going to do anyway. Know who you are and say, I am a son of God. I have been made like Christ. There is no reason why I have to be doing this, and I will stop it now and it'll end. And I'll put my faith in Jesus, and that's how it stops. You bring your mind. You tell yourself what to do. You know that in you reigns Christ. And say, you know what, Lord? You have delivered me from the corruption of the world. And I'm remembering now that it is you, Jesus, who have delivered me out of Egypt. I'm no longer a slave. It's a sad thing to have free people think like slaves. It's a sad thing to see free, healed people think like they're enslaved to disease, enslaved to pain. You're not a slave. It doesn't matter if you feel like a slave. Listen, if they were slaves for how many years? They had an ingrained slave mentality, right? Well, you would say it's difficult for slaves not to think like slaves. Exactly. That's why God taught them all those years in the wilderness. And that's why he tells us to renew our minds. We remember what it was like to be a slave to this world, but you're not a slave no more. So let us stop thinking like a slave and let us start thinking like free people, right? Who have liberty, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. Freedom. Hallelujah. Let's stand up so we can close in prayer. That's good. Thank you, Lord. So good. Hallelujah, Father. We just thank you and we praise you. Thank you and we praise you, my Lord, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christos. Christos there. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. Thank you, Lord, that your people have an ear. They know your voice. They have an ear for the word of Christos. They have an ear for the word of Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that it is eating that bread. If there is anything else, Lord, that anyone else tries to feed them that is not the word of Christ, it is not bread, and therefore it is not profitable. But thank you, Father, that they are people who have developed a taste for the bread of life. They have developed an appetite for the bread of life. And all that they want to eat, and the only place that they want to sit, Lord Jesus, is at your feet, eating the bread of life. Anything else doesn't taste right, doesn't sound right, and they will not accept it because it is the word of a stranger and not the word of their God. So, Father, we just thank and we praise you for the things that you're doing in their lives. Thank you, Lord, that it's all filled with purpose. Because everything that you put in them not just for themselves, but you put that in them, Lord, so it will overflow. We pray, Lord, as they leave with a mindset that is different. They leave this place this morning, Lord, swimming upstream, but with all the power of God in them to get through any wave and any trouble and any current, Father. We thank you that they are well able to take it. They're well able to take it, Father, because your grace is sufficient for us. In Jesus' name. And if you believe it, you said, amen, amen. Amen. God is good. We love you.
And that concludes our segment for today. This message was recorded at Harvest Family Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Family Church meets at 10:30 a.m. on Sundays, 7 p.m. on Wednesdays, and 7 p.m. on Fridays. You can get more information about HFC online at bringinginTheHarvest.org, or you can call us at 845-295-4560. Thank you for listening.